Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
We're going to talk about something in John's Gospel this morning. It's 36 verses in chapter 3 is where we're at this morning of John's Gospel, chapter 3. As we're touring now through the New Testament, and when we finish with John's Gospel, which won't be this morning, when we finish with John's Gospel, we will be jumping over into 1 Corinthians because that's where we've left off. We've kind of alternated going through from Matthew, then we went over to Acts, and then we went back to Mark, and then we went to Romans, and then we went back over to Luke. But then at Luke, we decided because John's Gospel, his approach is a little different, so we decided we'd just carry on through and finish John's Gospel, and then we'll pick it up in 1 Corinthians. So you have an idea of where we're going as we're going through the New Testament. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." Nicodemus, interesting character. Oftentimes we look at him as, well, maybe he's kind of a cowardly fellow. He's out doing his travels in the night. And going to Jesus, well, I don't know, the guy was probably a busy guy too. Let's give him a little credit. The guy who had a full-time commitment as a Pharisee, as a ruler of the Jews. He was a very well-respected person in his community. It's kind of interesting because Nicodemus was, these religious leaders were very wealthy individuals. This guy was wealthy, well-respected, had position, and also religion. But he knew something was missing. You see, we live in a world today, a society today, this part of the country, right where we are, right in our communities, right around us here. There's a lot of people that have a lot of things, just as far as just the worldly items. They're not lacking a whole lot. And we look around, you know, there's a lot of them have very respected business positions. A lot of them are doing very well economically, maybe even respected. And I dare say many probably have religion of some sort. And yet what's interesting to me, just as we see with Nicodemus, there was something missing in his life. See, I think sometimes we still look on the outside and we still look at the external. And I think this is a good kind of a time as we start the first of the year to kind of refocus on what really, really is important. Because Jesus says something here about being born again. And I know for me growing up, this was a term that came on the scene. You know, it's not a brand new term, but became very, very popular in the late 60s, early 70s. All through the 70s, very, very popular. Oh, I think they're one of those born again groups. I'm not sure, you know. And it started to become kind of a derogatory term, actually, during the Jesus People movement and stuff. It was kind of used in a somewhat derogatory way, and it kind of implied that there was an extreme vantage point or something about God and so on. And yet I find that this is a term that Jesus uses and is very comfortable using, and we shouldn't be uncomfortable with it. You know, I know it's been run into the ground by many, both positive and negative, but it's still a biblical term, and it has a good implication as far as being born again. There must be a transfer that takes place, Jesus is saying. Something that happens in the eternal realm that goes on. And I know that you all are familiar with this portion of Scripture. This is not brand new. This isn't new to us as a group of believers. But what's interesting to me as we look at this is that Jesus is very clear about this and is emphatic and is absolutely, you know, it's a must, he says. It's a must. It's not an option, it's a must. There are a few things that are musts in the Scripture, and this is what's interesting to me. I don't care whether anybody's driven this into the ground, the term, or whatever. Jesus said you must be born again. Not it's optional, and maybe if that works for you, because you'll find when people talk to you about your relationship with the Lord, a lot of times the response that I get, that many of you might get, and they may just say to you, well, I'm glad religion is working for you. And I make it perfectly clear, and I would encourage you to do the same, unless that's what you have. That's not what I have. I don't have religion. I don't want religion. I don't want to be a part of religion. Religion seeks to establish its own righteousness by means of one's own efforts, to try and be right with God by the things you do. Jesus said, no, absolutely not. It's not what you do, it's who you know. And it is being born into a family that allows you to have everlasting life, and for me to have everlasting life. It is a gift of God to you and to me. And as we start this 2010, the clock keeps ticking. Some of us don't have long to live, possibly. I don't know. I don't know your days. I don't know my days. They're numbered by the Lord Jesus Christ. God has numbered your days. God has numbered my days. What will you do with the remainder of your days? Will you stockpile resources so that you can leave them to your kids? Great. Praise the Lord. But to of what avail? It's not a bad thing, but is it to be the main thing? There should be a main focus in our lives. And when we look at this, we see, wow, Jesus is talking to a wealthy guy, an established guy. He's got religion. He's a leader of religion. And yet this guy's coming to him saying, I'm empty. I see who you are. I see what, and I'm drawn to this. And I'm missing something. And Jesus tells him something that is just blows his mind. He can't assimilate. He just can't. What are you saying that I've got to go back into my mother's womb? I mean, come on. This is just ridiculous. When you talk about and you say, man, you know, I really had a great time with the Lord this morning. And the Lord really spoke to my heart. And I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me when I'm talking to a non-believer and they say, so you talk to God, do you? If you're not talking to God, you're not going to be saying that much about it, are you? But if you're talking with God and you say that, you can clearly say, yeah, as a matter of fact, we interact. I read through his word and he speaks to me through his word, through a still small voice, through the interaction of the Spirit of God as God moves upon our lives. And as God's doing these things, Jesus is so clear here. He says, hey, one is you, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You have no perspective on the kingdom of God. You're just functioning in religion. And he tells him, he says, don't marvel. He said, what's born of the flesh is flesh. If you flip really quickly, because this really kind of solidifies this, to 1 Peter, very quickly. 1 Peter. And you remember in Romans, we talked about the fact that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. That proclamation of the word. We also know in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, that the seed is the word of God. And as you're throwing out the seed, the world is the field. And as you're throwing out the seed into the field, this is God's going to do a work in and through that. And it talks about that in the four different positions that you find people when the word of God lands in the soil of their hearts. But here it says in verse 22 of chapter 1, 1 Peter, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love of one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, now you are born into a new family, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, which is what we are born. We are born that way. We are born corruptible seed. That's just the simple fact. The natural process, it's corruptible ultimately. You and I'm learning as time goes by, as I wake up and every joint starts to hurt. And, you know, Lo asked me the other day, she goes, hey, it must be really, really cold out. I'm really stiff today. I can't tell. I feel like this every day anymore, so I don't know. But be thankful it only happens when it's really cold. For me, it's pretty much every day I'm sore, you know. But this is part of the corruptible flesh. Our bodies deteriorate over time. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which is that seed, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. That word of God, that seed that was planted in your life, that word that we share, the gospel, the good news of who Jesus really is. Jesus is speaking about that. Not being born of the flesh, but being born of the Spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And he is talking generically to all humanity. He is talking to everyone. You must be born again. It's not optional. Jesus didn't say, hey, well, maybe that works for you, but if you can go crawl on your knees and pay penance and do this and do that, then maybe you can have everlasting life too. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, you must be born again. And the only way that happens is by a spiritual transaction that takes place. It is fallacy. It is foolishness. I absolutely reject it. It is not biblical. It is extra biblical, and it is absolutely absurd to think that there is any other way to have everlasting life. Do not get duped into this. I know all the higher intellect that we've got out there tells us, well, wait a minute, that's kind of narrow-minded. Well, Jesus talked to us about that, didn't he? Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So I reject it. Why do I reject it? Because I'm very clear that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane made a very clear discussion with the Father and said, if there be any other way that sinful man can have a relationship with you, let this cup pass from me. And he was referring to the cross. He went to the cross. It is a fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's a fact, that he was crucified 2,000 years ago. 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Why am I speaking so passionately, so firmly about this today? I want to stir your hearts. I believe the Lord wants to stir your hearts. The Lord wants to stir you up to remind you that you must, not just you, but when you carry this message outside these four walls, we have a message that says you must be born again. It's not some optional deal. It's not, well, if that works for you, well, that's good, you know, because that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through him. And the only way to be born again is through that simple prayer of faith where I say, where I've had enough of me. You ever just get sick of you? Even as a believer, you ever just get sick of yourself? You know, you're just like, oh, you just make me sick, you know? You know, just sometimes when you've just been in a bad fleshy pattern or something and you just what are you thinking about? It's all about you. You just get sick of yourself sometimes. Man, that's a great time for the refresher. You know, just getting refreshed, getting immersed again, washed in the water of the word. You know, just get immersed in the presence of the Lord and just let him bathe you with his goodness and his grace. And be reminded, be refreshed, be encouraged that you and I have been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible through the word of God that was spoken to our hearts as we receive Jesus Christ. So it's that simple prayer of faith, that confession, that profession that says that I believe in you. Not I believe in some system, not I believe in some good idea, but I believe in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to accept you as my personal Savior. I want to receive you into my heart. I want to open my life up to you. There's an eternal transaction that takes place that your mom and your dad, your aunt and your uncle, your grandma and your grandpa, that you as a parent can't do for your child, that no one can do for anybody else, husbands, wife, boyfriends, girlfriends. No one can make this transaction. And that is the eternal transaction that takes place in the realm of the Spirit as we give ourselves over to the Lord and we are put into his care. Now you are sealed as we give our lives to the Lord. It says we are sealed with his Spirit of promise. That which, now it's talking about an insignet ring marked in the seal that says that parcel, that item, that stuff in that box, whatever it might be, as a steward went out to gather goods for his master, that then now it's sealed its mark, no matter where that is, wherever it travels in the world, that it belongs to his master. You see, you and I have been sealed with that Spirit of promise. You and I are seen in the realm of the Spirit, in the spirit realm, as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are seen as marked out, identified as God's possession. That puts a little bit of a target on you, though, because the enemy wants to destroy your life and my life. That's just a simple fact. He also wants to drag you down. He wants to make you look like an idiot. Well, what do you mean, wants to make me? He wants you to compromise so that it nullifies anything that you have to say about the person of Jesus Christ. Your salvation might still be intact, but your witness is screwed up, destroyed somewhat. This is why we have to guard our hearts. And so we look at this, he says, you must be born again. It's not optional. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that how many get to the Father without him? No one. No one gets to the Father. Settle the issue. Quit arguing intellectually about it. It's a waste of time. You see, we spend so much, even as believers, trying to figure out, I don't know if I really think that. You know what? I don't give myself those options anymore. I don't even really care that much about what I think. Because what does God say? It's not that you throw your mind in the trash can. I'm not implying that. I'm saying when it comes to certain matters like this, use your mind to understand what God is saying to you. When he says something, now it's not for you to slice and dice and fit into your packaging. It's for you to look at that and say, well, fair enough. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. You must be born again. Well, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of options, does it? So what should my mission be then as a follower of Jesus Christ? Bambi-pambying around and just saying, well, I'm sure it'll all work out. Is that what my goal should be? My goal shouldn't be trying to figure out what the other options are. My goal should be really being clear about there are no other options. It's option A. There is no plan B. It's option A, Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected. That's it. And all this other discussion is a waste of time. For me, I have no minutes for that. love people, will listen, and but if I get a word in, man, it's going to be, yep, that's great. But Jesus, and I just go right to the, I go for right down the throat and grab a hold of the heart. I just try and hang on to it, you know? Because that's where it's going to come together. The transaction is made in the realm of the Spirit as we, with our mouths, profess and believe from our hearts that Jesus is Lord. Do you know what? Your friends, your family, my friends, everybody we know, anybody we see, people we don't know, it's bow down now and accept that Jesus is Lord and receive him and receive all the benefits of that, or later, and it's too late. No benefit. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And you guys can all, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. The whole world can laugh and think you are just an idiot. I don't care, because I know when I get to the other side, that's going to happen. When it's all said and done, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's start our new year being assured of our faith in Jesus Christ, that it is not in vain, that it is not a just, well, it works for me thing. I just don't believe that. Yes, it does work for you, but there's so much more. You must be born again. Now, Jesus kind of challenges him with this thought about the wind and that the Spirit is like the wind and that you don't always know where it comes and where it goes. You can't always explain exactly how it works, but that you know it's there. You know it happens. The wind happens. You know it's there. I love to look at the scriptures through the way, where the wind shows up. That's one of the things why we sung that song today. Rushing wind blow through this temple. Keith Green wrote that many years ago, prior to his tragic death in a plane crash. Used by the Lord in wonderful ways. Definitely by many, I'm sure, seen as an extremist during his time. Left us with some great music, though, and a great witness for Jesus Christ. Rushing wind blow through this temple. It's talking about your heart, my heart. Cleansing out the sin within. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your sin or my sin. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing can purge it. This is a guy that was wealthy, respected, had position, had religion that he thought was, you know, hopefully doing something, but he saw something was missing. He knew something was missing. And Jesus told him, man, you got to be born again. You must be born again. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life. And I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart. And I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.